Hey everybody, welcome to another segment of Tony Show. And tonight we are going to be, I'm going to be a little bit on the political side tonight. Because there's a lot of things going on in politics that's concerning me a little bit. And we are in a drama class. And the world is a stage. And we are now on... in action. We are now being filmed. We are carrying on the action and the acting that's required to entertain. And in this entertainment that's going on today, some things are a little bit on the alarming side. And I thought, well, maybe perhaps I should share what I see if everybody sees what I'm seeing, you know, because I think we need to pay attention, take a walk on the wild side, because we are in a wild world. We are in a wild world. And earlier today I heard Galati on a site, and I think I'm going to start off Canadian politics and as well as Australian politics, because they're very similar in a lot of ways. The Australians are a little bit ahead of us as far as going down the toilet. They now want to shut down the roads, and I'm going to talk about that too. I'm not sure that's a good idea. I'm not sure if this is placating to the Masonic order that's in Australia. I think they need to do something along the lines they're doing, but not on the road. They need to put in siege all the parliamentary buildings, government agencies, city hall. Because my thinking is this. If I'm going to assault an enemy directly, why not go to the enemy? Because, see, if they block the roads, what's going to happen there is, my estimation anyway, the people of Australia are going to turn against the truck drivers. Most Australians are like Canadians. Majority of them are collecting some kind of government funding. Welfare, disability checks, retirement, pensions, you know. Injuries, widows, pensions, things of this nature. I mean, this, they may have a different entitlement, but it's pretty much the same because the Commonwealth runs on the same thread. And if you got people that are living on some kind of welfare or social assistance, then what's happening here in this is that these people who are depending on cheap goods to survive are now not going to have access to them. And what I see happening here is when these people start to starve a little bit, feel the pangs of hunger, they're going to respond accordingly. And they're going to go after the truck drivers because they're no longer going to think about the government causing the COVID, corona, whatever. And I think this may be a big distraction. This is, again, my perspective. I could be wrong. Because if the government sits back, does nothing, mob rule is very fickle. It's what they see, and they're very impulsive. They don't think. Hell, we got the same problem globally. We got over 70% of Canadians who are impulsive. They don't think. They got two shots or on one shot. Incredibly stupid people who have no capacity for rationalization, just impulse. And this is true everywhere in the world, not just in Canada. The United States, Europe, Asia, Russia, China, Japan, you name it. Wherever you got people in huge volumes, majority of them react impulsively. This is what the governments are depending on. You know, they're depending on this impulsive behavior that people do. And they're not, and they know that people do not think. They don't. you know, what we have today basically is a joke. What's going on today? It's not a hilarious joke. It's a sad joke, but nonetheless, it's a joke. And people are not in any way, shape, or form understanding the nature of this joke. Now, a joke was played on the Prime Minister. So we can get this thing to play here.
Could not guarantee the safety of the people in attendance. The situation was such that we would have been putting volunteers, many of them shown up here tonight, at risk. And that was not something I was willing to do. No way.
Prime Minister, I've covered elections for the last 10 years in Canada, and I've never seen this level of anger at a political protest in those 10 years. So what is going on here? Is this reflective of a trend that's going on in Canada, perhaps fueled by American-style politics? What just happened there?
I think we've seen over the past year with this pandemic an increase in anxiety, an increase in anger and frustration, a sense of powerlessness, and a whole bunch of people who, you know, feel like the world is unfolding in ways that they can't control, and that is really scary for an individual, for a community. I think we all need to reflect on whether or not we do want to go down that path of anger, of division, of intolerance. I've never seen this intensity of anger on the campaign trail or in Canada. Not when I was a kid, even with my dad visiting out west, where we did see anger. Certainly not in my past 12 years as a politician, where I'd regularly see protesters. And I think this is something that Canadians, all of us, need to reflect on. Because it's not who we are. It's not who we want to be as a country. We're a country that is comfortable with differences. We have to listen to each other.
He got a rude awakening in Bolton, Ontario. And in the end, I picked up a threat from a seemingly threat. The way it was worded, you'd have to really pay attention to the tone of what he's saying. He's right. He's correct. Canada is a place that we are of diverse cultures and diverse beliefs and diverse ideologies. Yet we coexist in an unusual way. But it's not everywhere in Canada. Few pocket places you have an atmosphere where people don't care. They don't care what your color is. They don't care what your language you speak, your second language. They don't care if you're a Muslim. They don't care if you're a Christian. They don't care if you're Hebrew. They don't care if you're Hindu or Buddhist. They don't care. In fact, people get along pretty good. Where I live, that's the case. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying it's a haven. I'm not saying anything other than the fact that, for the most part, coexistence does work here in Windsor, Ontario, for the most part. But you run into the odd situation where it doesn't work. And then there are other areas of Canada, it's extremely segregated, extremely racist. There's a level of intolerance. But what's happening here with the Prime Minister, he's got a taste of his own actions. He thought he couldn't be touched. They shut down the campaign in Bolton, Ontario. They left. They realized that they were not going to reach anybody there or convince anybody. That's one of the reasons why he left. But he also left primarily because he realized that there was the propensity there to maybe have problems that he didn't want to deal with. So, like I said, you know, this is, Canada has changed because of what the Parliament has done. And Parliament has been the root of Canada's problems. The reason why we have a division of linguistics, is because of the federal government. I've talked to people before the federal government got involved with Rene Levesque and Pierre's father here, or not Pierre's father, Justin's father, Pierre. The people, they said, coexisted fairly well in Quebec until those two came along and caused the problem. You know, it's always been the federal government that has initiated the problems that we have. They caused the problems in Canada. They caused this issue to occur. 2-week curve. How many people remember a 2-week curve? 1 year, 8 months later, we're still fucking around with a boogeyman that doesn't exist. And then he expects people to be on a tolerant side. Their tolerance has come to an end. And it's happening all around through the Commonwealth. You got the trucker thing going on in Australia. I think it's a good concept to fight, but you got to make sure when you choose your battles and how you're going to battle. Shutting down a road may not be the smartest thing to do. Shutting down a government building would be. Shutting and putting them under siege would be. Imagine if all the truck drivers surrounded the Parliament building where the federal MPs gathered for their meetings and for the debates, and they couldn't get out. Imagine if you have surrounded the city halls and the count and the offices of the provinces or state, because Australia has states, and shut them down and not allowed them to leave for 2 or 3 weeks. Shut down any access to food or water or anything like that. Shut down medicines and pharmacopoeias that people need because they have been addicted by psychiatrists, psychologists in the medical field. You know, shut down and deny them any luxury, any hygienic products. They'll have a change of heart after that. The biggest thing you got to worry about after a situation like that is military intervention. They call martial law, they'll bring the military in, and I think this is where it's all heading in Australia. And Australia is leading the way right now. Unfortunately for the Aussies down under, they've been put between a hard place and a rock, and they've been disarmed. And it's unfair that this has happened to them. And I'm going to say something here in old Canada. If we aren't careful, we are going to be in the same position Australia is in, and maybe worse, because they've already fragmented this country. They've already created a separation. We don't see it so much in Ontario. Ontario is pretty multicultural. But the further west you go, that gets thinner until you get to Vancouver. And the further east you go, it also gets thinner. I think once you get past Montreal, you're now in no man's land. So they have already fragmented this country in ways we don't fully see, because we've been polarized just to look at Ontario or Manitoba or Saskatchewan, wherever you may live. So they have done something unexpected. The federal government has done something unexpected. They may have inadvertently unified Canada, where his father destroyed that unity. He may be bringing it on. Imagine that, eh? Inadvertently. He has made the federal government the center of attention. Something, and then he called an election, which wasn't too bright on his part. Whoever gave him the advice to call the election, honestly, I think... I think, well, maybe it was set up that way. Who knows? Let me see if I can get this going.
Understand that holding out the, hey, if you want to go to a ball game or a concert, you're going to need to get vaccinated as a motivator for people to try and force them to get vaccinated. But like I said, what do you do with someone with an allergy? What do you do with someone who's immunocompromised or someone who for religious or deep convictions decides that, no, they're not going to get a vaccine? We're not a country.
What do you do?
We're not a country that makes vaccination mandatory, for example, but we want to encourage everyone to get it.
We have made the decision that federal public servants need to be fully vaccinated. That is something that we're also applying to everyone who gets on a plane or a train in the coming months in Canada.
But what about Canadians who want to go travel internationally? Like, if you don't get vaccinated, could we see a scenario where you're not allowed?
Well, that is really going to be up to the country of destination.
We intend to ensure that the public service gets vaccinated, and that anyone on a plane or a train be fully vaccinated.
I prefer to encourage people positively and sort of say, you know what, if we don't hit that, whatever it is, 80-85% threshold of vaccinations, nobody's going to go to a Raptors game. Nobody's going to go to a concert, because we won't be able to get to that level. And that, as an encouragement, I think is the right way to go.
But the bottom line is, if anyone who doesn't have a legitimate medical reason for not getting fully vaccinated chooses to not get vaccinated, there will be consequences.
We know that the goal is not to punish people who don't want to get vaccinated, but it is to protect Canadians from being infected by people who are unvaccinated.
But there may be places or institutions that do decide that, saying, no, you need to have a vaccine to get here, and proof of vaccination will be important. I'm just concerned about the fairness aspects of that as well.
The idea of certificates of vaccination for domestic use to decide, if who can go to a concert or who can go to a particular restaurant or engage in certain activities, does bring in questions of equity, questions of fairness. There are some people who, because of medical conditions or other reasons, will not be able to get vaccinated. There are others who are not on priority lists, who will have to wait much longer before getting vaccinations. These are things that we have to take into account, so that, yes, we're looking to try and encourage everyone to get vaccinated as quickly as possible, but we're not discriminating and bringing in unfairness in the process at the same time.
You deserve better. You deserve a government that's going to continue to say, get vaccinated. And you know what? If you don't want to get vaccinated, that's your choice. But don't think you can get on a plane or a train besides vaccinated people and put them at risk.
We've seen situations where conservative backbenchers have referred to some of this government's decisions as tyrannical in terms of how we're creating mandates for vaccination of public servants or vaccination of people on trains and airplanes.
No bigger thing out there than making sure Canadians are safe right now, and they don't even think that everyone getting on a plane or a train should be vaccinated, or even that their own candidates should all be vaccinated. That's unacceptable.
Well, the answer to tyranny is to have an election. And I think people who disagree with this government or disagree with this direction should have an opportunity to make themselves heard. And that's what this election is all about. It's allowing Canadians to weigh in. It's allowing Canadians to be heard, allowing Canadians to, in this moment where we are so strongly vaccinated and looking towards the future, not just the end of this pandemic, but how we build back better, looking for an opportunity to make sure the decisions being taken in Parliament and by government are reflective of the hopes and dreams of Canada.
Like I said, okay, this was basically, somebody sent this to me earlier tonight, and this is Justin Trudeau taking a chunk out of the Fauci playbook. Mr. Flip-Flop. This is Mr. Flip-Flop, the acolyte, learning the Fauci dance. saying one thing in one situation and in one environment, saying something completely different in another environment. Do we want to vote? Do we really want to vote? Think about this. As a Canadian, do we really want to vote? We got nothing to vote for. This is a guy here who can't make up his mind whether to wear a red sock with a blue sock, or a blue sock with a pink sock, or a pink sock with a purple sock. This is what we got running the show here. And then on top of that, you just heard him with his stand on vaccinations. You don't know what he really stands for. One minute he's saying, oh, it's unacceptable if you don't want to get vaccinated. It's unacceptable if you, you know, if you can't get a shot, there'll be consequences if you don't get the vaccine. You know, like one minute he's saying, well, we're trying to keep it fair and equity and blah, blah, blah. The next minute there's going to be consequences. This is incredible. This is the bullshit we have to put up with in Canada. And the Conservative Party is not any better. It's a total joke. Now, I don't know whether we should vote or not, because in my humblest opinion, the leader's already been decided. It doesn't matter what lever you pull. It doesn't matter what team you're on. Liberal, Conservative, NDP, which is another bullshit party. The Parti Québécois, the Green Party, the Purple Party, the White Party, the Red Party, the Black Party. We got so many parties here. And none of them really reflect the ideals of Canada. And the ones that do reflect the ideals of Canadians, that, you know, again, having freedom, freedom of choice, and things of this nature, they'll never see the light of day. They'll never see the light of day. Until we dismantle the system, and this is what I'm saying, and I'm not saying it to do it in a way where I'm talking about hurting anybody, but we need to remove these people completely from Parliament, all of them. If we're going to run a parliamentary system, we need to put people in the Parliament that do represent Canadians and Canadian interest. Not reflecting the interests of the UN, not reflecting the interests of the WHO, not reflecting the interests of the Pfizer contracts, or the Moderna contracts, or the AstraZeneca contracts, or the Johnson & Johnson contracts. The reason why they got to get the 80-85% vaccination rate is so that everybody becomes fully debilitated and has to be re-engineered every 3 months with these injections. And again, if it kills you, you'll never know it. This is a culling of the greatest magnitude. And if you keep getting these injections and these shots, you know, this is the biggest thing. They got so many Canadians afraid. And you know what's even more ridiculous? They've even got Canadians afraid of getting sick. Imagine that. They're afraid that they're going to get something. You know what? You're going to get something anyway. Sooner or later.
I understand that. Oop. Holding out the, hey, if you want to go to a ball.
Yeah, that was weird. Sooner or later, you're going to do something, eat something, drink something, go to an environment, be exposed to some epigenetic factor, and you are going to get sick. We've been getting sick all our lives. Getting sick, all that does for us is gives us a stronger immune system once we recover. That's the hidden caveat in all of this. See, when God designed our bodies, He designed us so that we would be able to come back stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's an old adage. It's a true one. God made us wonderfully made according to the Bible. Wonderfully made. And in that, in the magnitude of His creation, He designed our immune system to be able to withstand and come back stronger. Imagine that. God, who designed an immune system so that if something should happen to you, that you would not only recover, but you would come back even stronger than you were before. What a concept. Okay. Now, sometimes you do die. Sometimes it is your time to die. We all have an appointed time to meet our Maker. That's a given. We all are going to stand before Him one day to give an account. That's inevitable. So if you're afraid of dying, get over it. You know, if you're afraid of getting sick, get over it. It will happen. And it's by design to happen so that you become stronger as a result of it. And what's happened is they have taken the concept of normal biology that people go through and endure to make that sound like it's such an atrocious thing that could happen to all of us. Getting sick. Ooh, you're going to die. You're going to live. I don't know what's going to happen. Ah, I'm sick. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The amount of sanitizing and sterilization that has gone across in the last 50 years has weakened our immune system. I remember growing up as a kid, we used to take a wipe rag, we'd wipe our faces with it. Our moms used to use aprons and holding all kinds of shit. We'd wash our hands, wipe our hands with it. And you know what? None of us died. Hell, do you remember when you were younger? This is from the generation, generation we all came from my era, our era. When we used to buy a pop, go to the store, we'd buy a pop, a Pepsi, a Coke, or whatever, and we'd all drink from the same bottle. You know, yeah, it took a suck of a Coke, gave it to the next person, they took us. Hell, we were exchanging genetic code all the way back to that point in time. Hey, you got my DNA. Yeah, you got mine too. Now, again, this is Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or RC Cola. Those were the three main colas back then. And they had enough phosphoric acid and citric acid in them to melt steel, literally. So I doubt, and I think that's the reason why we never got sick. But in the same token, when we drank from each other's bottle, we also got each other's immunity. You know, if I got sick, you got whatever I had, because I just, you know, basically it went into the pop. You know, how many times when you were younger, when you were in high school, and you went out to a party, and everybody was rolling a joint, or a bong, or a pipe, and everybody smoked from the same pipe, or smoked from the same joint, you know, you got another one, you know, and away you went, around the circle. We've all done this stuff. How many times, even when you're smoking a cigarette, taking a drag, and you give somebody else a puff off your cigarette? Did anybody die? You know. How many times have you gone out to dinner and you've exchanged food with each other? You know, hey, try this. You know, you stick your fork on whatever you got and pass it over, and the other person just takes it off your fork, eats it, whatever. Now, how many, you know, being romantically, you know, interconnected, and you're sucking out of each other's drink or drinking out of each other's glass or eating off each other's plate? You know, like I said, you know, we have a wonderfully built body that has an amazing immune system. And when you got something that has a 99.678% survival rate, yeah, you will get uncomfortable. Yes, you'll feel like shit. Everybody does when they're sick. You know, that does happen. But eventually, when you recover, you forget all you have, your memory tucked away in your head, but you realize that you don't get sick for many, many years after that. Now, some of you have a compromised immune systems because they were compromised from day one, and a lot of it has to do with some of the things you've been exposed to, and sometimes, majority of the time, it's because a lot of you were deficient or depleted in things you needed when you were growing up to develop that immune system, like eating real meat and drinking real milk, and eating real foods that had real nutrition, eating real vegetables that had real enzymes and real minerals and real nutrients, not this shit we're eating today. How many of you got little children? They're sick all the time, always got runny noses, and they're always got mucusy, and they got watery eyes, and got allergies. Because the shit in the food today is what's causing that. And their immune system is functioning just fine, because that's the reaction, the normal reaction a child would have if they've been exposed to something that's going to compromise their immune system. So here we go. We got a prime minister, and the audacity of this guy to come out and say, "Well, we'll let the Canadians decide. Canadians aren't going to decide jack shit. Nothing. They've already got who they're going to win in the next election already." I would even tell you, if you took a thousand of you and all said you're going to vote for whatever and took a picture of your vote to validate everybody voted for, let's say, the other guy, vote for the what do you call it, a CPP party or whatever they got going, PPC, CPP, whatever the hell it's called. I don't pay attention anymore. I've given up on the whole concept of politics. But vote for a party that isn't the mainstream liberal, conservative, NDP, or Parti Québécois. Don't vote for any of them. Vote for the and watch and see. Watch and see who wins. Watch and see who wins. The system is corrupt to the core. Here we got a man in office that is saying what he is scripted to say. He is saying and being directed whatever they're telling him to say. And he puts on his act. He's a drama teacher. So he puts on the act to let everybody know, you know, and in no uncertain terms, where he stands. And after hearing this recording, now you know, nobody knows where he stands. Now, what we saw here in Bolton, Ontario, is the fact that he began to realize he ain't as popular as he thought he was. And he's not as accepted as he thinks he is. Now, this also could have been a staged act, too. Nothing surprises me anymore today. I'm that jaded. So when you hear this guy talking about what happened and how, he was beside himself because he didn't get what he thought he was going to get. I think he had a rude awakening to where people really are at. It will wind up like Australia. Truck drivers will block the road. Truck drivers need to block the government buildings where governments are enacting, because if, like I said, you block the main roads and people cannot get their goods, all you're going to wind up doing is having the people turn against you. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. If you really want to fight, if you really want to make a stand, if you really want to make an issue or make a change of event, then you got to target not the people that you're blocking the road, but you got to block the inlets and the streets of where the government is being held. Make sure all the tow truck drivers are on board so they can't even move the trucks. You know. And like I said, we need to be smarter in Canada. We are heading into the abyss in this country. We are fighting and we are slowing it down. That's all we're doing at this point, slowing it down. To get a real change, since he called the election, if there was a real way to validate the voting polls, that they're not switching boxes and bringing in extra votes and taking people's names off of tombstones in graves and graveyards, just like they do in the States. You know, they don't have some Chinese delegation over in China with a community of computer operators, you know, saturating the mail-in votes like they did the States. So China will pick who they want to run Canada. It's a sad state of affairs where, as Canadians, we no longer have control of our own country. Now, with a flip of a switch, an activation of a computer, you can now influence another country's election by voting for whoever the Communist Party will tell you to vote for. Imagine that. Imagine that. Imagine having a country where you don't have the outside influences and people within the country can determine their destiny by who they vote for. That we have lost. America has lost that as well. You know, in the last election before Biden, they said Russia influenced Trump's vote. And then they said in this next last election, it was China that influences Biden's vote. So, I mean, what is going on? And who gave them the access codes to be able to access and hack the elections? Who? See, like I said, I have been around the block I've seen this shit before. Nothing's changed. Taliban just reinforced what I have been saying. What they did in Afghanistan, they did the exact very same thing in Vietnam. I mean, seriously, who leaves a country leaving ammunition and supplies everywhere in the street so that the invading force now has more hardware to fight off any opposition? Does that make sense? Nothing is what it appears. Nothing. They did the same thing in Vietnam. No different. No different. So, you know, now, for those of you in Australia, you know, I think about you guys all the time, and I think about, geez, you know, it's sad that they have had to deal with such stupidity, and, you know, they're about now to be ready to be locked down by a trucking company, industries, that may actually shut down essential needs for people that are on fixed incomes, social programs, disability programs, etc., etc. So, I thought, well, you're going to need to wash your clothes, and you're going to need to learn how to. You may need to take a bath, and you may not have adequate power to power your homes or whatever. So I put two links up here: how to take a bath without a shower accessory, and there are ways you can take a bath. And the one that I actually tried was you take a towel and you soap it up really good. You wring it out, and you could use this as a dry wash. And you wash yourself with it, standing in a big Tupperware tote. And you know, you can put a barrier around it, so you can use a small little 1 or 2 gallon, container with water, already set for the temperature. And then when you get done, just rinse yourself off. It goes into the tote. When you get done, you dry yourself, and away you go. That's a simple way of doing it. There's other ways. There's a bunch of ways. And as far as washing your clothes, all you need is a pail that has a lid on it that you can seal tight. All you need is baking soda, borax, and I know in Australia you can't get borax because your government there is crazy. But you can use baking soda. You can use a little vinegar and add a little GSC if you want, or you can add a little the oxy, it's like a peroxide. Put it in there. And if you need to add a little soap, add a little dish soap if you need to, or if you got a detergent, put a little bit in, not much, like a teaspoon. And then put your clothes in there, fill it up to 3/4 high, put the lid on it, and shake it up really well. After you let it shake up really well, because you'll dissolve the salts and everything, let it sit there for about 10 minutes, and then shake it again. Pull out your clothes, rinse them off, wring them out, rinse them off again, and hang them out to dry. Again, the information will be there, because I'm thinking if you guys get shut down, and if the truck drivers do shut down the highway, and you can't get access to things, well, some of the things you may want to do is clean up, let's say, some of your bedding, or whatever. Now, for your bedding, you may need your sheets. The bucket idea will work with the sheets. But if you got the thick comforters, you may need a big drum for that. Or if you come up with some other way of doing it. So like I said, when you're looking at the what may happen there, this is something that, you know, that you can do. Now remember, this will also apply if you're going off grid and you don't have a shower or a bathtub. But you have a pail and you have a place where you can, you know, wash, you know, you got a tote or whatever that you can stand in. Well, basically fill it up with water, your container that you're going to rinse with, soap up a rag, and away you go, you know. And basically when you pour it on top of you and rinse it off, it'll be like grabbing a shower, a quickie. So this is something that I was thinking that might be good to have. If you are down in Australia, you might want to start stocking up on canned meat, canned milk, powdered potato if you have it there, powdered vegetables, You can just add water, mix them up, and it gives you some consistency. Dried egg powder. Have it on hand. Have, you know, applesauce if you have it there. Stockpile some sugar. Sugar does have medicinal properties as well if you know how to use it. But you may need some kind of sugar for making alcohol or for making things that require sugar to hold everything in place. Can't handle sugar, use maple syrup if you have it there, or use some kind of tree syrup, whatever you have going. And again, sugar is a very barterable material, so you may be able to barter for things, you know, with your neighbors and stuff. So do the best you can in stockpiling before this becomes full on. And if you don't have a gun, make a slingshot, make a bow sling. Basically what it is you take a slingshot and you use the piece on the bow where when you pull the arrow through, it keeps the arrow in place, and when you let it go, it acts as a guide and you attach it to your slingshot. Look it up, it's called sling bow. That could help offer you some protection for some of the things you may be stockpiling. But like I said, understand that we are, you know, especially guys down there, I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't know if the trucking idea came from a Masonic order, or it was the actual truck drivers that came up with this, I do not know. But it really sounds like it's going to fall into play with further causing more hardship for more Australians, so that it'll break you down more. You know, you can't get food, you can't get water, you can't get essential goods that you need to live. That's what it sounds like. So again, I'm trying to help you to be prepared so when they do lock down the border or lock down the roads or lock down access, that you'll be able to have your supplies on hand. Buy extra razors, you know, buy extra soap. Buy an extra pair of shoes if you can afford it. You know, because you may have things break on you or whatever, so you may want to take a look at things that you use a lot. Look at the aspect of how easy they are able to break. And if you need something a lot and it's breakable, then go buy an extra one while you can. You know, you got to start thinking that these ideas are good ideas. I just don't think sometimes they've been thought out enough. Maybe they have. Maybe they already figured that out, and I just haven't seen the game. So, but if not, then here you go. There's something for you to do. Now, there was a Michigan doctor that started talking about this whole fictitious bullshit. It's all fictitious. And she went on and explaining in great detail the fiction that has been perpetrated as the truth. You might want to listen to that. And if you got friends who are sitting on the fence, have them listen to it too. She went into great detail about the whole thing. What does work, what doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. And I think you'll find her an interesting woman to listen to. I heard it. I heard her go through the details. I thought it was pretty good, actually. I thought she really hit it on the head in a lot of different things. She actually hit it on the head better than some of these so-called doctors that are out there acting as gurus, which may be part of the elite. But I digress. So anyway, yeah, the Michigan doctor, there's a link there as well. I think it'd be good. The other thing that I was listening to Galati, and he's got another case going against Bonnie Henry. And he's all over the place, and he was explaining how the court systems were working and how they keep moving the goalposts. So when you get ready, everything ready to take them to a court docket, they have changed the direction. So now you got to go back and create another docket. So I was hearing them, and I thought, well, this is part of the course. If anybody's been exposed to anything political, well, I will tell you the same thing, that, you know, just when you think you got all your facts, they have now changed the criteria for what is factual. Imagine that. Imagine that. And then there was another video where a guy took both shots. And in there he stated that he no longer had his life. See, because everyone says, oh, we want to go traveling, I want to go see, I gotta go, give me the shot. The repercussions to these injections are unbelievable. The guy was on 6 different drugs. His heart had inflamed, he had blood vessel damage, he had some other stuff, and he was taking all these different, about 6 different drugs. And at the end, he says, I take these drugs to protect you. He's being facetious. The drugs he took, he has to be on. Probably all coming from Pfizer. But the drugs that he has to be on is because his system doesn't work anymore. At all. So when he says, I take these to protect you, he's being sarcastic. And then at the end of it all, he's one of those few people that actually came out and said, don't take the shot. You don't know. You know, and you don't know. Nobody does. You know, so, I think I got, did I get it all? Hold on. Something on another note. Street lamps all over the place, right? And I've been saying for a while, you got 5G in the street lamps. So I was looking at a report just before I got on the show. Street lights contribute to population, to insect population decline. Imagine that. The lights are causing insect populations to decline. But that's good and bad. If it kills the pests, that's good. But if it kills the ones that are good, that's bad. So when we're looking at this tech killing off the insect world, what's it doing to us? What's it doing to us? Think about that. Think about that. Alrighty, I think I'm going to call the show early tonight. I've been getting banged all day with this radiation that they've been dropping from the sky. They've overheated everything here, and everybody that I've been talking tonight across North America, everybody's been feeling a little lethargic and dozy. That's because of what we've been exposed to. You know, we have been hit with all kinds of radiation, so it's been a lot of fun. Alrighty, as I say at the end of these shows, read the Gospels. Read what Jesus had to say. Read. Read for yourself. Don't let anybody influence you or anybody, you know, dictate any kind of a doctrine or dogma. Read it for yourself. Ask God to show you what you need to see. Best thing I can tell you. You know, look at the book of Acts. Look at the letters to the apostles. Look at Revelations. This is the script that they're following. So again, read what you can. Read. And get what you can. Okay, I got people on the site as well. Day 2 are up there all trying to do stuff. Everyone trying to share whatever data and information. You know, help them out financially if you can. And if you can't help them out financially, fine. Share their information. Share it everywhere. Distribute it everywhere. Alrighty. There's something else I wanted to talk tonight. Oh yeah, I wanted to remind everybody. So if you know anybody interested, and I'm selling the store, the part of the store I'm selling off is the jewelry part, the band, the beading, and the paraphernalia, and the furnishings that go with it, the counters, everything's got to go with the store. So that part I'm selling. So if you know anybody that's trying to come into Windsor or whatever and wants to take over beating business, by all means, no, send them this way. All right, and they can send me an email, independs@yahoo.com, to let me know what's going on. All righty. On that note, as I always say many a time, we are still here by the grace of God. So, till the next segment, to your health. Take care.